Welcome to Sports Med Res's This Week in Review podcast, where we highlight the recent news in sports medicine research. Over the past week, we had two posts on sportsmedres.org. That's res.org. In the first post, we summarized a study where the authors reported that no treatment is clearly best to decrease heel pain and increase function. However, a corticosteroid with or without exercise may be most beneficial. In our second post, we described a study where the authors reported that running does not worsen symptoms or deterioration in patients with knee osteoarthritis. If we take a closer look at that second post, we find that the authors analyzed over 1,200 adults with osteoarthritis who had a definite bone spur in at least one of their knees from the Osteoarthritis Initiative cohort. The participants were over 50 years of age at the study enrollment, with about 10% who self-identified running or jogging as one of their top three physical activity choices. Nearly 70% of runners were males, and about a third of the runners were running for 6 to 10 years. X-rays and pain from baseline were compared to their 48-month visit to determine if there was worsening of knee osteoarthritis. Overall, runners did not have worsening of osteoarthritis on X-ray based on a progression of the Kellgren-Lawrence grading system or any progression to new frequent knee pain in comparison to non-runners. Furthermore, runners were 1.5 times more likely to have resolution of frequent knee pain in comparison to non-runners. These researchers were the first to look at the potential effect of running on knee health in adults who already have osteoarthritis. Running was not associated with knee osteoarthritis worsening, and in fact, seemed to help improve knee pain. I wonder if the authors had looked at non-weight-bearing physical activities like swimming, whether they would have found similar results. It also would have been interesting to see if symptoms during or shortly after running may be better linked to OA progression. But it seems that running may be an appropriate choice for physical activity among adults with osteoarthritis, specifically males. The authors cautioned that the percentage of female runners was so low that this generalization should be interpreted with caution. It's important to note that most participants in the study had grades 2 and 3 on the scale that went from 0 to 4, with only a very small percentage of those people having end-stage disease or grade 4. This may limit the findings to non-end-stage osteoarthritis, as another research group reported that moderate to vigorous activity may exacerbate symptoms in individuals who have end-stage knee osteoarthritis. It may have been interesting to see what the effect of length of running history had on knee osteoarthritis diagnosis or progression. About 25% of the participants just took up running in the past 5 years, and about 18% had been running for more than 20 years. Areas that could be looked at within these groups are age at enrollment / diagnosis, and then looking more particularly at the 13% of runners who reported they were competitive runners at one point. The authors indicated that this subset of runners had generally higher Kellgren-Lawrence grades of osteoarthritis than the remainder of the study population. Since elite-level long-distance running is associated with greater osteoarthritis risk, the current findings should only be interpreted for recreational runners. Ultimately, it appears that recreational running does not make osteoarthritis worse and can be an option for maintaining physical activity in adults with osteoarthritis. Don't forget that we also share extra material on social media. This week's most popular post was a blog post from the Clinical Journal of Sport Medicine on the role of physical activity and sport in mental health. And if you're an athletic trainer who's looking for evidence-based practice CEUs, please check out our 6 online evidence-based courses available through the Human Kinetics website. We'll have links to our posts, the courses, and the blog post from the Clinical Journal of Sport Medicine on our podcast website and in our show notes. Remember, you can always follow us on Twitter, Facebook, Google+, or LinkedIn. We'll be back next week with more sports medicine research. Until then, have a fun one.